Some 20 years ago, I was invited to speak at a small Baptist church. That was before I came here, you know, before I ever came to Cornerstone even. Methodist preacher in a Baptist church, go figure. But I don't know what the deal was. I really didn't at the time, but I was asked, and it was a revival, and I said yes. Okay, I'll be glad to come. But it was a different time. It was a time that 20-some years ago that we were going through the cycle where Jesus' name was being lifted up. It was where it was being accepted, where it was being taken on, and it was a good thing. It wasn't one of those negative things. It wasn't being pushed down. In fact, the acceptance of Christ's name was pretty popular at the time, 20-some years ago, you know, 22 years ago, something like that. But I recall that because people were pointing out to me what they thought of him, what they thought of who Jesus was. And, you know, remember that day that the bracelets, everybody had the bracelets, and what would Jesus do? You guys got one of those? Yeah, we all seemingly came up with somewhere down the line. We had a "What Would Jesus Do" bracelet, and we put it on and we enjoyed it. But it brought back to my mind, and when I was going to this, that the message was going to be different. You know, there are times when you spend, you write, and you get what you think God has for you, and then there are times that it just flies. I mean, you write faster than what you're really thinking, because God is pouring something out. I was reminded of what the great American evangelist D.L. Moody said. This is way back. This is back in the 1800s, late 1800s. D.L. Moody preached one of the most famous sermons that any American preacher has ever preached. It's right there at the top. But he made this statement in there: "What think ye of Christ?" Now you may, I'm not so familiar with that. Well, let me put it in a different term. This is the term that he meant. What is your opinion of Jesus Christ? That's basically what we were asking when we saw that, when we got that little bracelet and we were running around and it said, "What would Jesus do?" We had that on our wrist and we were walking around. We had bumper stickers on the back of our car. Then we drove like idiots. You know, we had the fish on the thing. That's the fastest fish that you ever saw, because it was swimming as fast as the car was going down the road. It was one of those things. But what would Jesus do? That's what he was asking. What do you think of Jesus? I think 20-some years later, it's still as viable, in fact, more viable today than it's ever been. What do we think of Jesus? Now, if I ask you what you thought of some famous person, you know, and I laid out their names, you know, maybe it was Trump, maybe it was Joe Biden, maybe it was one of my favorite people, Joel Osteen. You could come up with it. You could come up with something real quick, you know, your opinion of that person. You'd have an answer based on what knowledge that you had. So what is your knowledge of Jesus? How do you base your answer? You know, I would never, ever bank my life on a man's opinion or what a man says, this is what you ought to do, this is what you should do, unless that man is Jesus Christ. Unless that man is the one that's saying to me that I've got you. I've got you in my hands. I've got all of you. I'm not letting go. I'm keeping you right where you should be. Why was that? Because that was the greatest man that ever condescended to walk the face of this earth. He was the God-man. He was the God-man that came into our world to challenge what we think about God. Who is he? Well, he's the Son of Man, as he likes to describe himself. He's the Son of God, as some described him. He is our Savior. He is the Messiah. He is all of those things right there. Now, you can get our intellectuals and our philosophers even today, and they will spend all the time, and it's getting worse, in my estimation, picking apart who Jesus Christ is. They're trying to tell us who he is. You know how they spent many years trying to describe that he was a great teacher, he was great this, he was this over here, all these things. And then they want to break it down because we're idiots, and they have to tell us what to believe and to break it down into bite-sized little deals so you can have a sound bite out of all that. Their explanation, well, he was a, well, let's just say, he was a great teacher. Then they go right back to the Word of God, and the Word of God does say no one ever spake like he spake. No one ever talked like he talked. And so therefore, you know, that's true. How about as a preacher? How about as somebody that really laid out the Word? D.L. Moody also made this observation. He said, I'd rather spend 5 minutes in the presence of Jesus Christ than 10,000 lifetimes in the presence of the greatest preachers that have ever lived. It's true. He was a great preacher, a great teacher. How about a communicator? You know, we got all these guys that we consider to be great communicators. Through the ages, they've been the FDRs, they've been the JFK, they've been all those guys that got all these initials. You know, they got a Ronald Reagan. He was a great communicator. Joe Biden, if he gets out of his basement, he communicates. You know, you got movie stars. You got all these guys, sports heroes. You got all of these people. But what are they saying? I have one observation about every one of those. They're not the God-man. Their words may be great for right now, but they're going to be just like it was when the disciples, at that climactic time when all of the crowd was following Jesus through the streets, and Jesus turned to them and really just laid it out. If you're going to follow me, this is what you're going to have to do. And it was so demanding that they left and they went the other way. And what did he say to his disciples? Are you going to leave me too? That question comes up every day. As I look around and I see fewer and fewer people at times in church, fewer people following Jesus Christ that said they were following him. Are you going to leave me too? Are we going to be like Simon Peter that said, had his answer? He said, and who in the world will we go to? You're the only one that has the words of eternal life. Who do we turn to in a day that we're analyzing everything that Jesus has to say? We're analyzing what does the church do or doesn't do. We're analyzing the little bracelets you might put on or the bumper sticker on your car, only to see that we don't live up to the very things that we want people to see. Do we glorify Christ in every one of those things? Now, I know many times I've thought about that. You know why I don't have a bumper sticker on mine, my car with a fish sign or anything? They couldn't see it anyway as fast as I go by them. That's the reason, you know. But it's true. I mean, it's absolutely true. In some circles today, it's popular. It's still popular to be a Christian. It's still popular to say, what would Jesus do? How would he see that? And you know, and I'm looking at you right now, and I'm looking in your eyes, and I can see that you're agreeing with me. You agree with me that this is the greatest personage. This is the guy. Everybody should pay attention to him. We all got all of this. We're all in agreement about this right here. But how agreement are we? How much of Christ do we truly, really want? And what would Jesus really do? Do we even know? You know, he surprised me over and over in the scriptures. Every time I'd read about something that he did, I'm going, I didn't see that coming. But yet today, we still think we know everything that Christ is going to do. We think that we already got it down, and therefore we don't need to make any different things. We need to stay with what was there, make sure that we have it all down. Can I tell you this, that young people today aren't interested in what we think is the right way to go? They're interested in blazing their own trail. They're interested in seeing what God wants to do in their lives personally. They're interested in seeing where they can make a difference and how they can be different than I am. And I'm excited about that. So I'm saying, what would Jesus do in their particular lives? I would hope that he would do something that would not be, like I've done many times in my life, an embarrassment to the name of Jesus Christ. I'm hoping that he'll do something that'll be far beyond anything that I've ever taken on. I hope they reach out something far greater than our church has ever done. This church has done a lot of great things. It's been in a lot of great things. But there's not one thing that they've done in the past 30-some years that we have been there that will not be eclipsed by what the next generation can do. Why is that? Because what would Jesus do? Something greater. Are we satisfied with what we have? Or is there something greater? Is there something greater that God wants to do? Is there something that God's wanting to say right now in your heart and in your mind right now that's captivating you? Or are you thinking about what time the ball game comes on? Are you thinking about, well, I have this to do and I'm going to go here? Or is the Holy Spirit actually speaking and saying to you, this is what I want you to do? When's the last time he said it? When was the last time that Jesus actually spoke to you? When was the last time that Jesus actually said something to you personally? I'm not talking about what happened in church. I'm not talking about what he said to me and then I said to you. I'm talking about what has God said to you personally. Because what God has said to you personally is what Jesus would do. That's what Jesus does. He speaks to us individually. He speaks to us personally. And corporate worship's great. You know, that's when we all get together and we do things and we, you know, and it's great to all be together. I love that part. It's a wonderful part. That's what fellowship, that's what church is all about. But I'm asking today, what would Jesus do in you? Or what is he doing in you? What can you say to me today? Don't say it to me. Say it to God. What are you doing in my life today that's different than it's ever been? What are you wanting to do in me right now that will make it so that I can see that you and you alone are in charge? I've surrendered it all to you. What are you going to do to make a difference in my life? And therefore make a difference in the world around me. Make a difference in my family. What are you going to do? You ever thought about that? You know, we chide kids all the time about, what are your plans? Where are you going? I told you I laughed about it the other night at the ball game, because everybody that they asked about what they were going to do, Faith was in the Queen's Court, and everybody that came up, they asked all these, what's your plans for the future? And a freshman in high school said, well, I'm going to marry this boy right over here. And I'm going, do what? I mean, there came back three of them different times. They're all going to get married, and I'm going to go, don't you think you ought to get through high school first? I mean, but you see, that was what was on their mind. I'm talking to mature Christians today. I'm talking to you that have named the name of Jesus Christ. What is it that God is saying to you? And what difference are you making? Or are we just going to play church? Are we just going to be satisfied? You know why it was so important 20 years ago to go to that church? Because God had a message that said, I want you to put this down, and this is what I want you to say. I had no idea what I was saying in that regard, except for this is what God was saying. And it pointed directly to some person, to a young man who was getting off the path. He was taking a side tour. And God said, I love that guy so much, I'm sending you over there to help him see that he needs to come back. I had no idea that what I was saying was that had anything to do with him. But I knew this, that God said, count the cost and go ahead and say it. Have you counted your cost today? Do you know what God's asking you to do now? Well, I'm too old and, you know, I've already done all the great things that I'm supposed to do, blah, blah, blah. Are you dead? Are you finished? Are you the man that's up here with the signs and, you know, can save somebody that might get run over by a train? What would Jesus do in your life if he had a chance today? What is he doing? Are you even giving him a chance? Are you giving him a chance to do the things that he has wanted to do for a long time? Young people, you got your whole life ahead of you to do great and wonderful things for God. But where does God fit in into those plans? You know, many of us would say this or that. Older people, we all talk about, well, this is what I did when? 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago? What am I doing today? What is God wanting to do in me today? That should be your first indication about where I'm going, what I'm going to do, considering what God wants to do now. And we should all have that. We're not too old for this. We're not too old to find out what God wants me to do. We're not too old to say, God, I want you to do this. Why can't we just say, Lord, speak to me? Why can't we say that? Why can't we say, make it unmistakable? You know, we struggle with that all the time. Lord, what are you doing? Well, he'd say, well, if you'd be quiet long enough, I'll tell you. But we're usually not quiet enough long enough to get that kind of stuff. Has he spoken to you in the past? He has, hasn't he? Everybody? Has Jesus spoken to you before? Everybody? Come on. Has he? Has he spoken to you personally before? Why is he not speaking today? He is. Good. He wants to. He's still talking. Are we still listening? Or have we already built up that position in life that I'm already old enough, I don't have to do this anymore? The Apostle Paul made some very, very pointed statements. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But until the day that I die, I'm going to live for Christ. I'm going to do everything that I can. I don't think Roman prison was on his list of things, that bucket list that he wanted to do. I don't think that he signed up and wanted to go this way, but he said, what does God want me to do? And that's exactly what he did. My friends, there is a day coming. It's coming to every one of you. It's coming to me, no matter whether you think you got it made as a Christian, or whether you think you're just over here, out here on the fringe, just kind of being a seat warmer on a Sunday morning. God is saying, I want to speak to you personally. I want to tell you something, but you have to be broken and spilled out before me. You have to want to hear what I have to say. Wouldn't it be incredible that if Jesus would come today and would speak to every one of us? Wouldn't that be incredible that he spoke right now to every one of you and you couldn't wait to share with your neighbor what he said? Wouldn't that be fantastic? We'd have a charismatic meeting. Amen. Yeah, we couldn't help ourselves. We'd all want to say it. Do you realize that he's speaking right now? What would Jesus do? He would do exactly what he's always done. He brought a message and burdened a heart and set a soul on fire and said, now, go and do what I've given you to do. Are you willing? Yes. Are you listening? If you are, you'll have a blessed day. If you're not listening, God's going to keep talking. But he may not be talking to you. There's not one person here that's too old, not even 98-year-old in the back corner. Because I know God speaks to her and she does what God says all the time. And there's not anyone here that's too young, because a child shall lead them. But a message 20 years ago, 50 years ago, whatever time, is just as valuable today and more valuable. We've allowed that many years to go by. What is God doing in our lives today? What does he want to do in you today? Today we stand out on the highway, we witness that we believe in life. We will do that. We do it every year. But I think it's going to get more personal than that. Yes, I believe in what we do, and we do it. But I don't believe that it's not just once a year should I be following what Jesus commanded me to do. I don't think I have to wait till the day we hold up a sign or a placard and say, I believe in life. I believe that what God wants to do is spoken to me every day. And all he's waiting is for me to respond. So what would Jesus do? He's doing it. Now he's waiting to hear, are you listening? Lord, I pray today that we would listen. You're speaking. I know you're speaking. You help us all the time. You're merciful to us all the time. You send us people to speak to us, but we don't listen. For whatever reason, we just cannot listen. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to hear you, because I know you're talking. I pray that you'd help us to respond in a way that only you could speak to us. And it wouldn't be mistaken. It wouldn't be a man. It wouldn't be me. It would be you speaking personally. Lord, whatever you have to say today to anybody, I pray, Lord, that they tune in and hear and respond and do what you've asked us to do. What would you do? Well, you'd make a difference in our lives today. Do this as you've done through the thousands of years, as you've done through great men of God, as you've done in times past, but do it in a bigger and better way today. I'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.